make sure that you understand the theological underpinnings of why we'll be doing what we're doing for these next 2 weeks. And so those of you who have never heard about Daniel, I'm sure you all have heard about him being in the lion's den. Amen. But let's understand and get a little grasp of who he was and what he did and why fasting and prayer was so important. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Amen. King James Version of our Bible declares, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel to favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king? Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech ye, 10 days, and let them give us pulse, which are vegetables to eat, and water to drink. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse, which are vegetables to eat, and water to drink. I want to preach this Sunday morning as we're in the midst of our fast from this subject. When the king's meat is not meant for me. When the king's meat would allow me to put an imposter into it or move it off the page. When the king's meat is not meant for me. On August 1st of 2018, the temporary inhabitant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Let me say that one more again. Let's put that in the atmosphere. On October the 1st, 2018, the temporary inhabitant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue had a group of urban ministers to the White House. Anytime you hear that word urban, that is code words for colored folk. On August the 1st, he had these colored ministers and clerics to the White House under the guise of talking about prison reform. During the Clinton administration, interestingly enough, during the Clinton administration, there was, again, at the end of Reagan and Bush's war on drugs, he made a deal with the Republican Congress at that time, controlled by Newt Gingrich. And in this compromise to get more entitlements, more Social Security, and more health care, and more food stamps, he allowed them to implement what we call maximal minimals during his administration, where if you were caught with a certain amount of crack, especially in federal courts, that there would be a minimum of 25 years in jail. During his administration, I know we thought he was soul brother number one because he could play a saxophone on Arsenio Hall. But during his administration, Dad, he put in these maximum minimums where judges no longer had any type of leverage and did not have any type of judicial constraint. But they were required by law to sentence our sons and our daughters to a certain number of years based upon certain crimes. Interesting enough, they use crimes such as crack and
other drug-related offenses, and they made even this distinction between crack in solid form, and that was more stringent, and their maximums were more stringent than coke in powder form, even though they come from the same thing, because one group does one and one group does another. I thought I was at the right church. And so many of our children and our brothers and our sisters have been lingering and dying and decaying in federal and state prisons because of these maximum minimums. And then this three-strike law that if you have been caught three times doing any type of illegal activity, you were sentenced to life. And so there was a wave, as you know, over the last couple of years of changing these maximum minimums. So under the guise of changing these maximum minimums, he had a group of colored clerics to the White House to talk about prison reform. However, we found out that there was no talking. It was only a publicity stunt. And what intrigued us more than anything was one of the brothers who was sitting at the table. Because this brother claimed to be soul brother number one. And we were so shocked that in his own soul brother number one, dashiki wearing, fist wearing, picking his afro, that he would be seated so close to the president. And then, of course, he was set up. He was set up. But you've got to have something called discernment, which I'll talk about in a little bit more, to know that when you're being set up. And I know that for some people, you know, just the mere fact that you're being invited to the White House, the mere fact that you get to sit at his feet, the mere fact that you get to be there in the presence, in his presence, will move a lot of people just not to say no because of his title and because of the honor of just being able to go and sit in the cabinet room or the Roosevelt room in the White House. But isn't it quite interesting? And I'm not here to throw any shade, but there's a lesson in all this. There's a lesson in the fact that when you sell your soul, when you lose your integrity, when you say one thing and do another, there are consequences to your actions. And it's very interesting, and I'm not here to kick nobody who's down, but I'm here really to help you get up. I promise you in Jesus' name. I'm not here to kick somebody who's down, but it's very interesting that how life has taken a toll on one of those ministers who was at that table, who had no business at the table. It's very interesting how his ministerial kingdom is crashing down, and how many of us, including me, have lost so much respect for him, and who used to listen to him once or twice a week refuse now to even listen to him, and the excuses that he has to make for some of his actions. One of the other lessons that we learn from this is to stop putting all your business on Facebook and Instagram. And let me tell you also, when people use this, I want to thank the Lord for blessing me with. Most of the times, Chavez, they are bragging. They are telling you what they just got. They couch it in, I want to thank the Lord for blessing me with. And then they tell you what the Lord has blessed you with. But see, God don't need that. God got his own advertising agency. God got his own marketing management team. And if you got it, you ain't got to flaunt it. Help me, somebody. If you got it, you ain't got to flaunt it. And everybody who knows God did it for you, they'll tell your story. You ain't got to tell it. And so you know what the brother did. Why put a $200,000 car? Hey, I know you. Listen, I ain't mad at the car. Y'all know I like cars and shoes. So I ain't being no hypocrite. All right? If I got a vice, it's them too. But I'm not going to put on Instagram or Facebook every time I buy a new pair of red bottoms, look what the Lord done blessed me with. No, look what my daddy's check that he gave me got me. You don't do that type of stuff and not think that God is not watching. And so you put on there, look what the Lord has blessed me with. Now I'm going to give this to my wife to say thank you for being a good wife. Then we find out.
is a payoff. Now, if you had never put the stuff on Instagram and Facebook on the first place, ain't nobody would have known none of your business. And let me tell you why those in glass houses can't throw stones. You don't throw stones if you live in a glass house, not because people will see you throwing the stone. Because if you're in the house and you're throwing a stone, the first stone you throw is going to destroy the house. That was somebody to tell your neighbor, isn't it? If you throw the stone inside the house, to get it outside the house, you got to destroy the whole house. And so what he has done is destroyed himself and his ministry by bragging. And when you don't do stuff from a pure place, you don't do stuff from a pure place, all your stuff going to be exposed. I know, it's a crying shame. One of the men at the table has had a tough time after he's eaten of the king's meat. But we pause today to thank God for a man of integrity by the name of Daniel, who would not eat of the king's meat. Daniel had the same favor of these other clerics. He was favored by King Nebuchadnezzar. As the text says, the eunuch was like, why are you upset and why are you denying yourself? Because you're in a privileged position. The king is giving you more than he's giving your other people of your sort. Did you read that? He said, the king is giving you meat off his table. The king is letting you drink the best wine. The king ain't giving you Mag Dog 2020 and Boone's Farm. The king is allowing you to sit at his table and dine with him and eat the best and drink the best. And you're going to get me in trouble because the king is being gracious to you and you're throwing it back in his face. But Daniel had integrity. Daniel, meaning God will judge. Dani, from the word Hebrew for judgment, and El, meaning God. Every time you see El Shalom, El Elyam, that means God. Daniel means God will judge. And Daniel understood. See, it's very important what you name your children. My parents named me Christopher. They still trying to find when Christ is going to show up in me, but they named me Christopher for a reason, one who follows Christ. It's very important what you name your children. They named him Daniel because he understood that God will judge. The book of Daniel is the book of judgment of the Old Testament. It's the only apocalyptic book in the Old Testament. It's like the book of Revelations. It's the book of the revelations of the Old Testament, telling us that God is a God of judgment, that God sees any and everything we do, that there sometimes will be periods of pain and frustration. God will judge, but then God will also redeem. He is the leader of this foursome, this faithful foursome, that are brought from Judah to Babylon during 687 BCE, before Christ, about 600 years before Christ comes. He and three other men that you know by the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. They're brought, my mama said, don't drink water while you're preaching. They're brought to Babylon because these are men of skill and talent and wisdom. And so they are brought because they have skill, they have talent, they have wisdom. And of the four, the king brings Daniel into his court because he has the wisdom and he has the gift of dream interpretation. And because he has effectively and importantly, and because he has done some things that the king has found favor with, he says, you can sit at my table. Daniel refuses to eat the king's meat. In this first chapter, we learn about the fact that when these children of Israel are brought to Israel, are brought to Babylon, for the first 3 years of their life, they are what we call acculturated. Somebody say acculturated. They are acculturated. They are to remove themselves and leave their own cultures, leave their own ways and mores and religion of their forefathers, and then become culturated and become really moved into the ways and mores of their oppressors. It's the same thing that our oppressors did to our ancestors back during the times of slavery, that they tried to move us away from the ways that our ancestors used to praise and operate, and to operate like they operated. See, our ancestors used to shout and praise and have fire and dance and drum during religious activities, but their oppressors wanted them to sit still and sing, "I shall not be moved." And some of y'all still. And let the shackles move off all your feet. Because all of our ancestors did was in their own indigenous cultures and their own indigenous religions was praise the Lord through song and dance. They believed that the Spirit moved, and so that's why they were always moving, because the Spirit was always moving. And so the reason why they moved and danced and shouted during praise was to catch up with the Spirit. Because the Spirit was always moving. The Spirit wasn't sitting down. The Spirit wasn't looking at me mad. And the Spirit wasn't like, what time I'm going to get out of here? What time can I get in line for? What time Publix open? No one is already open. You can't get none but vegetables in the house, so don't you worry about a thing. And so for 3 years, they were acculturated. They were hoodwinked. They were bamboozled. They were moved to be just like their oppressors. And after 3 years, Ron, they had to come back to the king and give an account of everything they had learned, which was Babylonian. But Daniel refused to eat the king's meat. He refused to eat the king's meat because he understood that it was the king's meat that was defiled and it was not kosher. It was not clean, and he could not be sure that the king's meat was not of God and was not based upon the tenements and based upon the rituals upon which his family and his ancestors had told them that they should eat. And so, in other words, in order to make sure that he didn't slip up, he refused to eat the king's meat. He refused to be a pawn in the king's court by taking the favors of the king. I wonder, all these people who voted for the temporary inhabitant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, who were hoodwinked into voting for him, but ain't gotten a check in 4 weeks. I wonder how they feel now about eating the king's meat. I wonder all these people who are pro-red hat and pro-keeping brown folk from crossing over the border, but can't get a check to keep them out the border. I wonder how they feel now about eating the king's meat. All these people who are pro-red hat and pro-making America great again, but their bank account is less than great. I wonder how they feel about themselves knowing that they have been tricked because they have eaten of the king's meat. But Daniel resolved to obey the laws that are in Leviticus about what they could eat and what they could not eat. But Nebuchadnezzar again was trying to curry favor with him. He was trying to curry favor with him because he understood that he had wisdom and he had talents, and he needed those wisdoms and talents to create and build a greater kingdom in Babylon. But again, Daniel would not be fooled. And so out of all the people, the eunuch says, out of all your sort, out of all your kind, out of all you people, the king has found favor with you. And sometimes you've got to be careful, mama, when you're receiving preferential treatment. Because many times when you're receiving preferential treatment, there's strings attached. Now, I refuse in Jesus' name to watch the Robert Kelly documentary. Tell your neighbor who I'm talking about. Somebody up in here done watched it. Thank you for being a witness, Marcus. I refuse, in Jesus' name, to watch the Robert Kelly documentary. I don't need to watch it to understand what he had been and I think still is doing. But one of the things I know from years of knowing his life and his lifestyle is that he gave these young women preferential treatment to bring them into his web. And God knows after you know one time, and if you are somebody's mama, have sold your daughter for a music contract and a record label, God be with you. And may his grace and mercy help you and keep you out of the gates of hell. But you've got to be prayerful sometimes, even on your jobs, even in your committees, even in your church, to make sure that you have the gift of discernment. To understand when people are giving you preferential treatment, that most of the time there are strings attached to them, and that you are being used. That you are being used, and preferential treatment most of the time requires a preferential return. And Daniel understood, and Daniel realized, I will not be a pawn. You have taken our people, you have abused our people, you have swept our people, you have taken. Yourself because you've given me the biggest piece of chicken at the table. And that's why Daniel would not eat of the king's meat, because he knew that it would cause danger to his soul. This fast that we're going on and this fast that we're doing is not about the food. I know food is very important. I know you've got to have it to live. You eat to live and not live to eat. This fast is not about denying ourselves foods that we like. It's not denying ourselves from eating a steak or some chicken or some scripts. That ain't what the fast is all about. A fast is a period of purification. Like you become one with God. Because let's think about it. We spend so much time thinking about other carnal things in our mind, other ways to please our flesh. And we're thinking all the time about how can we please our flesh. Think about all the time that you thought about, what am I going to eat today? Some of us, especially when you're big like me, you think about on Sunday what you're going to eat on Monday. And so your mind is not worried about what you take in your mouth. But your mind is not concerned and your soul is concerned. How do I become one with God? By denying myself of things that bring my flesh pleasure. How do I make my spirit strong so the only pleasure I need is being one with God? How do I get closer to you? That is the purpose of the fast that we're going on. That when you empty yourself all that is on the external, you can focus on the internal. Now, my brothers and my sisters, it is true what Jesus said in Matthew. In Matthew 15, he says, it's not what goes in a man's mouth that defiles, but it's what comes out of the man's mouth that defiles him. But he also says that what is in the man's heart is also who he is. And so if your heart ain't right, what comes out your mouth and what comes out your actions and what comes out your disposition and also right. And so this is a period and a time that we're taking to get our hearts right, get our minds right, get our souls right, purifying ourselves through prayer and fasting. You can't pray, you can't fast without prayer, because something has to make up for the emptiness and that which you're missing. There is a void in your life. There is a void. There have been headaches. You do get weak. And your strength comes from prayer. For the Bible teaches us that when we are weak, he is strong. And in your period of weaknesses, if you're doing this fast, and if you have not done it last week, it's not too late. It's not too late. that two fasts is really that go on here in the book of Daniel. There's a 10-day and there's a 21-day. And if you haven't done the 21-day, why don't you try to do this 10-day in chapter 1? Why don't you see if you can deny yourself and trust only in God for your sustenance and for your strength and for your energy and for your countenance? Why don't you give God a chance, like Daniel give God a chance, and say, I will not sit at the king's table and be used as a pawn for the devil. But I will live my life holy, righteous unto him. And watch your life be the better in 2019. I want to thank Trey for that one clap of praise for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also want to thank Trey because every now and then when the preacher is praying too long, preachers behind him start saying, amen, 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 amen. We'll say amen, so he'll say amen. So I thank Trey for clapping because the sermon is over. Stand on your feet.